Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonvigli, your host. It's Tuesday, August the 25th, as the summer keeps winding down. Bristol, action there pretty much from Wednesday, because the Truck Series ran Wednesday night, then Xfinity Cup and the Cup Friday and Saturday for the annual night race presented by Irwin Tools. Next week, NASCAR has the weekend off. NHRA was in Brainerd, Minnesota. And we hope to be hearing from monster truck driver Cynthia Gauthier. She should be joining us in a few minutes, and if not, oh, well, and there's some sad news. The IndyCar race at Pocono was not without tragedy. Justin Wilson, who drove for Andretti Autosport, passed away yesterday after succumbing to injuries sustaining in the race, where he got hit in the head with a nose piece off another car that had crashed. And, you know, that's one of those things that you don't like to see happen. There's, don't know what they can do to remedy that, except maybe close the cockpits. If you have a call, you know, if you want to talk about that, call here at Blog Talk Radio. And the number's 646-649-1899. But it's just one of those things that, you know, it doesn't happen for a while, and then all of a sudden you hear about something like this, and it's not really a pleasant thing, I know. And, you know, it happened a couple of years ago in Homestead with Dan Weldon, or Las Vegas, one of the tracks that they raced, that Dan Weldon was killed, and he was a guy that won the Indy 500 and the IndyCar Championship. So, you know, whenever this, things like this pop up, it's not a pleasant thing to think about. The ABC Supply 500 was held at Pocono Raceway. It's been a few years now that the IndyCar series had come back to Pocono. I had seen one of the races there that were held before, I guess, 87. And it was when the old kart series was in action. So, that's how long ago it was, and they had been away for a while. It was the last win for, the only win at the track for Nazareth native Mario Andretti. And a year later, I think Rick Mears won the race, and then they had stopped going there after a while. And just returned recently, within the last couple of years. So it's a sad thing, but, you know, the race had to go on, and just one of those things you don't really like to see happen with the death of a driver, especially in the race. But just one of those things. Ryan Hunter Ray wound up winning the race. Joseph Newgarden was second. Juan Pablo Montoya came in third. Will Power was fourth. Carlos Munoz was fifth. Sixth was Takuma Sato. Seventh, Simon Pagenaud. Ryan Briscoe was eighth. Scotty Dixon was ninth. And James Jaskis round out the top ten. Pippa Mann, who's the one of the only women drivers in the sport besides Simona DiSilvestro. She was in the race this week. Tried to get her booked on the show. So she had a respectable 13 with Dale Coyne Racing. So she had a prior commitment. We'll try to get her on anyway. So sad news out of Pocono and one of those things. Another thing I saw where if you want to there's a fund set up for Justin Wilson, and it's the Wilson Children's Fund, care of IndyCar at 4551 West 16th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46222. It's any amount. If you want to send a check to the trust fund for the kids, just $5 to $10, or you know, they're looking to raise about $100,000 for his children, so they got a way to carry on in life. I mean, Justin Wilson was what, 37 years old or close to it, so, you know, he had his whole life ahead of him. I guess our guest is being a little detained. I hope she don't call up at 12 Central Time. Nah, she was pretty good. Last time she called in, wanted to talk to her about her trip to Asia and driving the El Toro Loco truck, as well as her regular Monster Mutt. But she's a bit delayed. But anyway, maybe we can hail her on the... Maybe we can track her down a little bit. That's what's good about the internet. And we'll add, see what we can do. Well, meanwhile, till she joins us there in the Truck Series event. Well, let's go to the NHRA right now and... tell you who won out there in Brainerd in the top fuel division. Richie Crampton wound up facing Brittany Force in the finals, and it's Brittany's first appearance in the final round for a while. It was good to see her go the distance, even though she came up a little short. Her time was 3.771, but you know, you would think that would get you a win. Crampton time was 3.69. The low ET of the weekend was Sean Langdon, who was at 3.66. So, I mean, those speeds are pretty unreal when you think about it. Was Langdon's turned his speed in round two, his ET at 3.66. And, 3.7s are usually the norm, so when you start cracking that 3.7 mark, you're getting some more horsepower out of those things. I guess the cool, must have been some cooler air making more horsepower. But Crampton wound up outlasting Brittany Force. She had he had a reaction time of 0.64 off the light, so she was at even 0.1, 1/10 of a second. And that's usually around her range. She had an 0.65 in round one, but she was consistently in the 3.7s the whole afternoon, where Crampton was up in the 3.9s in rounds one and two, and he was the top. He was the fastest qualifier. But apparently when he faced went up against Langdon, Langdon had a, coming off that 366, Langdon had a 419. And to move on against Brittany and then back down to the 3-7. So give this win to Australian driver Richie Crampton, who was on the air not a, a little while back. I know, and I know everybody's pushing now for the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, where you get to vote on who you want to see, and it's kind of like an all-star race for the top fuel and the funny car divisions. And they put on a little show. Pro Stock has their K&N challenge, so they have a little something for the fans everywhere. Anyway, so anyway, in the funny car division, Battle of the Two came down to Tommy Johnson Jr. and John Force Racing's Robert Height. Fastest qualifier of the weekend was Jack Beckman, who won the last time out. Johnson was running good as well. And since he's been back in the division, he's been doing rather well. The best ET of the weekend for a funny car was 3.87 seconds. Tommy, it was Matt Hagen, defending champ. That still wasn't enough to get him the the number one qualifier, which is kind of weird. Hagen's 3.871 came in a winning effort in round one, but it was the ninth fastest qualifier. And it was kind of weird, too, because Rob Height started round one with a 4.17, and then his next two rounds were in a 3.9s. Sending him into the file against Tommy Johnson. Now, you turn a 4-1 in a funny car, that's pretty good. But when you're turning 3-9s in a funny car, that's excellent. I mean, Johnson and Hagen, they all had runs of 3-9s. Hagen had a 3-8. John Force, who qualified number two, had a 4-0. But Robert Height, after round one, was dialed in from his 4-1 when he beat Ryan Capps to three consistent 3-9 runs with 393 in the round two, 392 in the semis, and then 395 in the finals, and he takes home the Wally. So, that's a good run for him. He, I guess John Force Racing is finally getting the Camaros dialed in. Because, you know, when you change car brands that you've had for a while, you have all new engineering that comes into place. So it looks like they're finally getting them dialed in. That's the way to do it. Start peaking at the right time of year. You have a couple races to go before the countdown. And you want to flux it on through the countdown. In pro stock, a girl's back on top, I guess. Erica Enders wound up taking the Wally over Jason Lyne. She's been competing with for a few years. She wound up beating him for the championship last year. This year, she had a couple of rough spots, but told us about new gas and stuff like that. You know, it takes a little while. We have to re-engineer everything, but she runs consistent in the 650, middle 650s. And pretty much the same way, she was the number two qualifier this week. Number one was Shane Gray, who made it to the semis, but lost to Jason Lyne. We're talking probably one of the closest divisions in the sport. Everybody runs about 6.5. They were pretty much there this weekend. Low ET of the weekend was Erica with a 6.54, and that was done in the semifinals. The rest of the run, she was rounds one and two, she was 6.56, and then in the final, she was at 6.55. And Jason Lyon actually had a better ET in that round, so it was a hole shot win for Erica because she was off the tree at 0.14, where he was 0.43. Even though he was at 6.54 with a 1, and her was at 6.55 with a 2, she crossed the line first and took the win. Go to the points. In the funny car now, it's in top fuel, we have four clinchers right now. It's Tony Schumacher, Antron Brown in second, Richie Crampton in third, and Larry Dixon is fourth. Coletta Langdon, Brittany Force, J.R. Todd, Steve Torrance, and Spencer Massey. Could flip-flop around positions. They should clinch within the next couple weeks. I don't see 11th on down catching him. Clay Milliken, he's 584 back. Spencer Massey in 10th is 460 back. That's a tough hill to climb. In the funny car division, we have six drivers that have clinched the berth. Beckman, Hagen, Jack Beckman, Matt Hagen, Tommy Johnson Jr., Del Worsham, and John Forrest and Ron Capps. Forrest was 4th, Worsham's 5th, Capps 6th. 7 through 10, Wilkerson, Height, not out of the woods. They'll clinch in the next race, I'm sure. Cruz Pedregon, Alexis DeJoria makes the top 10. Out of it, believe it or not, is Courtney Force. Not having a good year since this year. So, Sister Brittany's run a little better in top fuel division than Courtney is. Courtney's having a rough time, I guess, with the Chevy. In the pro stock, you have 8 of the top 10 locked in. Erica Enders now atop the points again. She needed to do that. Greg Anderson, there's a little thing there. I don't know. I think she gets along with pretty much everybody, but I think when he made the comment that he didn't want to be the first one to lose to her and wound up doing so, kind of set some animosity there. She took a picture with her Wally, and it just happened to be in front of Greg Anderson's truck. And he got a little pissy about it. That's where the camera was there, and she was walking by, and she posed, and that's what happened. But he's second. He's only 16 back. There's going to be a battle there going on. Chris McGahey is third. Jason Lyon is fourth. Alan Johnson is fifth. Larry Morgan is 6th, Shane Gray is 7th, and Brother Jonathan is 8th with Vincent Nobile and Drew Skillman, 9th and 10th. In the Pro Stock Motorcycle, it's Eddie Krawick, Hector Arana Jr., and Andrew Hines that are locked in. Everybody below that, Karen Stouffer, James Underdahl, Gerald Savoie, Matt Smith, Hector Arana, Scott Polacek, and L.E. Toglett are in the rest of the top 10. The closest ones to them are Chip Ellis in 11th, Andrew Sampe in 12th. They have a chance to get in there. That can go either way. So you'll have to catch the next events to follow that out. The next race for the Mellow Yellow Series is Fish Oil Raceway for the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. That'll be in 2 weeks. So if you want to get out to the old Indianapolis Raceway Park, which is now the Lucas Oil Raceway, check out some drag racing before. This is their last event before their countdown, a.k.a. in NASCAR, that would be Richmond in 3 weeks. It's, believe it or not, Cup Series is off this week, so might have to do some stuff around the house instead of watch races all day. But, they will be interesting coming up. So you got one more for there to lock in. So everybody in the top 10 in points in the top four divisions in the Mellow Yellow Series. Kind of sounds like a letdown because before it was the Full Throttle Series, which it's all Coca-Cola products if you really want to know. But anyway, that will kick off the end of the NHRA regular season. It'll be the weekend of September 2nd through the 7th. And then off a few weeks and back in action on the weekend of September the 18th for the NHRA Nationals, the Carolina Nationals, which kicks off the countdown to the championship. So it'll be held at the Z-Max Dragway, which is near Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's in the same complex. It's all Bruton Smith, kind of like Bristol and Thunder Valley Dragway. And you got the oval track, and just off to the side is the drag strip. But they have a thing down, have it going on down there. And that's where they have the four wides. I think I'm going to go to that next year. We'll have to, nothing like better than watching cars going down the track and a short rate, a short distance. So we'll see what happens. Tia had something come up. I haven't heard from her. Try to confirm yesterday, but I guess it's a no-go. So I don't know what happened there. But anyway, I'm going to see what happens. So she calls in at 1. We'll have to make it quick because I have to skedaddle. But anyway, in NASCAR action, the Truck Series running Wednesday night. Ryan Blaney takes home the win. Kyle Busch winds up second. Go figure Kyle Busch is in the top 10 or not. It's always the way, right? John Hunter Nemechek, third. Dan Hemric, fourth. Brandon Jones, fifth. Eric Jones, sixth. Matt Crafton, seventh. Tyler Reddick, eighth. Johnny Sauter, ninth. Tenth, Dalton Sargeant. In the points, we'll do a quick rundown here. Tyler Reddick leads Matt Crafton by 6. Eric Jones is third. Johnny Sauter, fourth. Daniel Hemric, fifth. Cameron Haley, sixth. Tim Peters, seventh. Eighth, John with Townley. Ninth, Spencer Gallagher. And tenth is Ben Kennedy. In the Xfinity Series, Kyle Busch, another win for him. Kyle Larson, come home second. Denny Hamlin, third. Ty Dillon, fourth. Fifth, Daniel Suarez. Brian Scott is sixth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Eighth, Kevin Harvick. Ninth, Regan Smith. And 10th was Brendan Gaughan. Chris Buescher leads the points over Ty Dillon and Chase Elliott. Reagan Smith's 4th. Elliott Sadler's 5th. Daniel Suarez is 6th. 7th is Darrell Wallace Jr. Brian Scott is 8th. 9th, Brendan Gaughan and Ryan Reed in the top 10. So, it gets pretty interesting there. Kyle Busch, I think right now, has proven that he's fully recovered from his injuries, winning in the Xfinity Series, adding to that all-time win list. As many he's got, I think he'll have 100 wins in the series before he decides to hang up that helmet, whether he stays in the Cup Series or not. Is another thing. And he will definitely go down as the all-time winningest driver in that series, beating Mark Martin. So I know he's Mark Martin only had 50-some-odd wins, and he was the all-time series wins leader, and Kyle Busch broke that a few years ago, so we'll just have to see where that total winds up. Of course, in the Cup Series, things are starting to get interesting for the Southern 500 on Labor Day weekend, and then the week after that is Richmond. The last race before the chase, and everything should be locked in. We'll know who is going to be in it, even though we pretty much know who's going to be in it. It's just whether or not we get a guaranteed winner, or the last two races are won by people already have wins, and points play out. I'd like to see Gordon get one, just to lock himself in it, because he is retiring after this year to go into the booth. It's going to be interesting to see him in the booth with taking over for Larry Mack. So anyway, just want to let you know you're listening to Garage Talk Live here on Blog Talk Radio. And take a little break and be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back. I'd like to bring in a caller to the show, a first-timer, and local host. Dennis Mickelson, host of Race Time Radio, is joining me on the air. He wants to promote a worthy cause. Dennis, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, it's great to be here, and thank you so much for helping us out. We've got a really cool thing that we're one of my racing teams I work with is doing for the 9/11 anniversary here, honoring our wounded veterans by helping a group that puts wounded veterans in race cars. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool. It's just going to be a little tricky how they have to modify the race car for them to be able to drive it if they have certain types of injuries now.
Absolutely. This group is fantastic. They use all kinds of different parts. One of the racers that they are working with has difficulties with one of his legs as far as doing shifting of the car. So they put a modified paddle shift into the car that actually is a motor unit from a pickup truck, and it's for their windshield wiper activator, you know, to work that. So these guys get very, very innovative. It's called High Performance Heroes, and one of their graduates, who they because he has an artificial limb, they built like a basket to hold his leg so he could do the clutching on the car. His name is Liam Dwyer, a former Marine who was wounded in Afghanistan. And you may have heard Liam's story because with the help of High Performance Heroes, they got him into racing, and he's been able to race his way all the way up now, where the last two seasons he's won races in the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge. So pretty cool that they've been able to help out. But it's called High Performance Heroes, and we're doing a fundraiser over on GoFundMe. So HP Heroes is what you need to go find, or look me up on Facebook for either Race Talk Radio or Dennis Michelson on Facebook, and you'll see the link all over the place. Pretty cool deal that we're doing in honor of the 9/11 anniversary. We wanted to do something special this year. So out at Laguna Seca, the Garrett Racing Development Program, which in its own right is pretty cool because they put drivers in their race car who are type 1 diabetics. So they help these young racers get a chance in racing and develop their skills. So kind of an interesting deal with a very cool cause that they race for all the time. And I kind of talked them into it, did a little arm twist in to do this special deal for my friends over at High Performance Heroes. So pretty cool deal. And anybody can help out, you know, literally a dollar. Throw a buck in the kitty and we'll be very appreciative. And if you do have a few more dollars to spend, we'll be glad to show you all the different rewards that we have for people getting involved, including sponsorship on the race car at Laguna Seca. So, and that starts at just $500. So pretty cool deal that they're doing in honor of the High Performance Heroes guys as a way to salute all the wounded veterans that have protected us since 9/11.
Oh, that is a worthy cause, and urge everyone to go out there and find it. I've put the link up on the Garage Talk Live Facebook page, and I'm sure you have it on yours. And I know you have it on yours. That's the whole purpose of telling me to see if I could promote it a bit. So,
do appreciate the help, because every little bit in getting the word out is certainly appreciated. We're kind of doing this last minute, but you know, we're hoping to raise some good money for our folks at High Performance Heroes. We heard that they were a little down on their usual funding this year, and we wanted to make sure that going into next season that they would have more than enough funds to do what they want to do. And they race these cool little sprites, these little foreign sports cars. And they just, this is a labor of love. Every dollar that is donated through High Performance Heroes, and then some, the guy who runs it, Dave Thomas, puts a lot of his money into it every year. But all of the money that is contributed goes right to the organization to help them out. So a great deal out there. And like I said, we're trying to do something special on 9/11. We really appreciate the support.
And thanks for telling us about that, and I urge everyone to go to High Performance Heroes and check out the GoFundMe things. Like I said, you can go to the Garage Talk Live page and Time Radio's page, and we have the links up there as well. So while I have you on.
Yes, sir.
What do you think of what's happening in NASCAR now with the chase coming up? Or, you know, we all noticed where Justin Wilson was killed after an accident at Pocono. I mean, I personally think there isn't much they can do in an IndyCar except close the cockpit, because that was a freak thing where a chunk of race car hit him in the head.
A very freak accident, and that's what we have to remember. First of all, I've been screaming for years that more things on these Indy cars need to be tethered down. You remember a few years ago, they had the whole wheel assembly that came off in a wreck and went up into the stands out at Charlotte when they were racing on that mile-and-a-half track, and unfortunately killed a fan. And they've done a good job of tethering in a lot of those parts, but the nose cone, because of performance, because they want to be able to switch these things out really fast if there's damage, that part is not tethered. So maybe it needs to look at, you know, at looking at a tethering system for other big chunks of the car, like the nose cone, that could be done very effectively. But one of the things that we always seem to do in racing, and I, you know, this is very tragic what happened to Justin Wilson, but how many times do we see in racing where we try to fix one problem because of a tragedy and we end up causing five more problems? The old law of unintended consequences. Say you put a canopy on the car and you do it in haste, and you do it in a way that you may not have a quick way to release or something like that. Could we be looking at a problem with fire, you know, and not being able to get out? Or if the car is upside down, you know, do we have a tougher time getting a driver out? Now, the canopies have worked really well in top fuel dragsters. The other problem, though, when it comes to IndyCar, is visibility. Will it cut down on their visibility? Will it lead to more wrecks? And the other thing is, we don't even know if it was the impact with the debris that killed him or the impact with the wall after the fact. Granted, he wouldn't have been knocked out if he didn't get hit in the head. But, you know, one of the things that we do too often in the racing industry is we react quick due to tragedy because we're worried about it happening again. This sort of incident hasn't happened in IndyCar in the recent past. This is a very freak thing to happen, and we can't, you know, I've heard people say, oh, if they only slowed them down to 160 miles an hour instead of 200 miles. No, that wasn't going to do it. 35 pounds of nose cone at 150 miles an hour hitting in the way it did would be just as lethal as 200. So we just have to worry about taking care of doing this smart. You know, in IndyCar, when they had the tragedy with Dan Weldon, they were already working on this new generation car. We've seen some horrendous wrecks. Even Sage Karam's wreck that was involved in this incident, he would have been hurt more severely, perhaps, in the old generation car. But, you know, don't overreact. Don't do something that's going to cause another problem just because we're grieving on this problem, would be my advice to IndyCar. Not that they need my advice.
Well, that's just it, though. They probably will look into it and come up with something. And maybe they, like you said, instead of hastily coming up with a solution, maybe engineer it properly to where they can do something like that. And yeah, it's just one of those freak things you don't want to see. I mean, I don't know if the impact would have killed him. He did catch, you know, they do have safer barriers, and I think that has done more for driver safety than just about anything other than the Hans device, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, why do we have that? You know, at every track now, it's because we lost Dale Earnhardt in a wreck that led to enough being done. And you know, the reality is the only way you learn in racing is by having someone else die. And it's sad to say, and it's cruel to say that, but all in the history of racing, that's been the case. I mean, every death that happens at the track is tracic. This racing is an inherently dangerous business. And maybe we've just gotten to the point where, thankfully, it doesn't happen that often, so we overreact when it does. But at the end of the day, you know, IndyCar will make a good decision. The biggest problem that we have right now, though, that I see in IndyCar is it just seems like they are having the worst luck this year. They go ahead and have a terrific race. Nobody talks about the terrific race. They go out and have a death, and that's all we ever talk about. They are just cursed by having bad things happen to them, and it's really hurting the chance to brag about the good stuff. And, you know, on the flip side, talking about the good stuff, not only do we have in NASCAR the chase that's just around the corner, and my money is on Joey Logano this year, the way he's performed, which has been awesome, but have you seen any of the cool paint schemes that we're going to see, you know, on Labor Day weekend at Darlington? We're going to get treated to a pretty cool race, but also some pretty cool retro paint schemes, including Clint Bowyer's car that is hand-painted, just like it was in the 70s, you know, the old-style hand-painting of cars. So we're about to see some pretty cool stuff in racing. I know everybody in the racing community is mourning Justin Wilson now, and from everything that I know about him, he was a good guy and you know, a really good racer. But, you know, that's the tragic part of racing, is that we lose the good guys. And, you know, we've got so many great things going on in racing right now to be talking about as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost basically it's playoff time, not only for the Sprint Cup Series, but the NHRA. Will we have a repeat champion in Erica Enders? Will somebody knock Don Schumacher off the Top Fuel throne, or Matt Hagen off the Funny Car throne right now? So it's pretty interesting. It looks like, from what I've seen this past weekend, John Force Racing is getting their stuff together because they had to swap car manufacturers this year. So it seems like they're starting to gel at the right time. I mean, Robert Height with 3-9 runs all the way through, 3-9s, and then the best ETO weekend for a Funny Car was 388. I mean, that's even pretty good for Top Fuel, let alone a Funny Car.
Oh, just been awesome, the racing that you've had. You know, this has been a very good year for racing from start to finish this year, but man, we have had a lousy month. On the tragedy side, you know, we've had a young racer down in New Mexico. He was actually racing in El Paso, but he's from Albuquerque, New Mexico, that was severely hurt in a sprint car race. Of course, Kevin Swindell was hurt at the Knoxville Nationals. You know, all of these, Jim Campbell, a racer, sprint car racer from Pennsylvania, was killed a few weeks ago at Williams Grove. Another racer from the Southwest U.S. From Sprint Cars is in bad shape right now after a wreck last weekend. There's been a lot of tragedy this month, but boy, have we been rewarded with some great racing as well. And just like you say, on the NHRA side, my goodness, could this be the year that, you know, Fast Jack gets it done at the Big Go in Indy here coming up soon? Or, you know, is Matt Hagen just going to run away with this thing? It is going to be a great playoff season for all of the racing. And, of course, you know, we're talking about the tragedy in IndyCar. We're going to have a big showdown at Sonoma with six guys with a chance to win the championship heading to Sonoma this weekend. So, you know, a lot of great racing coming up. But, you know, it is hard to ignore the bad stuff when it happens. But you're right. We're being treated to some great racing in almost every class of racing this year.
It's almost, you know, when you have everybody in action, it's even tough to keep up with. If you have ARCA, you have NASCAR with three series, you have the NHRA, at least they get all their stuff done on one day. That's one good thing about drag racing is you can see four different divisions in one afternoon compete. And then you have Formula One out there, which is at a weird time of day. I don't even think I can wake up that early to catch them. And then the IndyCar series is competition wise has been better than it has been. So it's just, I think I'm looking forward to this weekend having most of the series off.
Yeah, the Xfinity series will be in action out at Road America this weekend, and IndyCar in action. But having a few of the major series off will give my butt some chance to heal. I've been spending so much couch time enjoying all the great race, and I know I caught the Formula One race from Belgium early on Sunday morning after watching the great racing from Bristol Saturday night. So, yeah, I've been a little too much into the racing thing. And this weekend I'll be going up to Angel Park because we've got a big sprint car showdown. It's the IRA Outlaw Sprints and the National Sprint League, 410 sprint cars on a 3/8 mile track up in Wisconsin on Sunday evening. That's where I'll be. And there's no shortage of great racing from coast to coast and in every form of racing possible.
That's for sure. So you want to give a plug to your show?
Absolutely. Check us out tonight on racetalkradio.com. Thunder Crew will be talking NASCAR. And like I said, we'll also later on this week, we'll have our drivefordiabetes.com Pirelli World Challenge radio show. We hope you'll go over to GoFundMe.com/HP Heroes and help us out with a small donation or just spread the word about our GoFundMe campaign helping out high-performance heroes. That would be greatly appreciated. And all week long over on RaceTalkRadio.com, we'll keep you entertained.
That's for sure. So thanks again for joining me, Dennis, and good to promote the cause and we could drive up some of them those donations and see some of these guys have some fun in race cars.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, and we do appreciate your help there, Cousin Vinny.
Well, anytime I can plug something, you know how to get a hold of me. So have a good time on your show tonight. You on live or a podcast?
We'll be live tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time. It'll be Mike Harper, Lori Monroe, and myself, the Thunder Crew. And you just never know what to expect with us. The quick change segment is pretty lively, and Mike always has some fun with us with great driver tweets of the week contest as well. So, I heard so many people saying that Bristol was boring. And I didn't see it that way at all, man. I had a good time watching that race, and we're going to have a good time talking about it tonight here on Race Talk Radio over at 8 o'clock Eastern time, live and in living color. In fact, we're now in HD, so we even look more handsome on the radio.
Oh, good. Okay, Dennis, take care, and thanks again for joining us, and we'll stay in touch.
My pleasure indeed. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one. There you have Dennis Michelson of Race Talk Radio joining us on the air to promote a cause, High Performance Heroes, GoFundMe account. Go to our Facebook page at Garage Talk Live, and you could check it out there. I guess Cynthia had something come up. We'll try to get her back on. Anyway, like I said, the Sprint Cup Series is off this weekend, so I don't have to make any picks. So you'll have to tune in next Monday for that. Joining me next week is, I don't know yet, because I usually just don't start looking for guests until after showtime today. If you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. And we can talk about anything. We've got about a few minutes left to go. That being said, well, let's get to the action in the Sprint Cup Series. The front row was a weird front row. It was Denny Hamlin on the pole, Kyle Busch next to him, Carl Edwards was third. The only one not in the top four, or five for that matter, was Matt Kenseth. He started 13th. But other than that, it was a Joe Gibbs front row, and half the second row was Joe Gibbs. Fourth was David Ragan from Michael Waltrip Racing. They had some big announcements there. They won't be running full-time next year. Clint Boyer will be looking for another ride. I guess so will David Ragan. Ragan filling in for Vickers in that car for the rest of the season due to Vickers' health problems. So that ought to be pretty interesting. And then fifth, you had Joey Logano. And sixth, you had Brad Keselowski. So after you had Gibbs cars on the front row, two more Toyotas in the second row, you had the Fords of Penske Racing in the third row. And starting behind them was Kevin Harvick and the eighth place starter. Let me look at it. There's Ricky Stenhouse Jr., another Ford. So you had four Toyotas, three Fords, and one Chevy in the top six. My math is horrible. Anyway, but in the all was said and done, came down to a battle of two guys. Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. Logano led four times for 176 laps, even though that wasn't the most laps led. It was Kyle Busch four times for 192 laps. Denny Hamlin led the first 21, then Kyle Busch took over for a long period of time, and Hamlin led three times for 54 laps, and Edwards led three times for 74 laps. But most of the race was dominated by Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. If Joey Logano had taken the lead a bit longer, a bit earlier, he might have been able to get the most bonus points for that, but he still got 47 of them. He wound up taking home the checkered flag. Kevin Harvick in close pursuit was second again for him. How many second place finishes does this guy have, let alone wins as well? But then last year and this year, it's a lot of them. He's Mr. Second this year. Denny Hamlin, the pole sitter, came in third. Jimmy Johnson came in fourth. Clint Boyer, a good run for him, trying to make the chase, was fifth. Sixth, Brad Kay. Seventh, Cousin Carl. Eighth, Kyle Rowdy Busch. Ninth was Dale Jr. And Ryan Newman round out the top 10. Points-wise, it's Harvick at the top with Logano, but, you know, let's go down to who doesn't have a win and see where their points are. You have Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, Paul Menard, and then Clint Boyer, and I'll leave it at that because in this list of top 16, Kyle Busch is not in there. He has four wins. He's up in the top 30 in points. I guess right now he is still a 29th, a point behind Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and a few behind Trevor Bayne. I think within the next couple races he should leapfrog over them, but he's in 29th right now. He's got to stay in the top 30 to make the chase, which
okay, if you had a win and we were in the top 30, that's one thing, but personally, I think you should be, if you have more than two wins, you should, it should be a gimme. Okay, so right now you have Jimmy Johnson at the top of the heap with four wins, and points-wise, ahead of Kyle Busch with four wins, as the seeding goes right now. Third is Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano with fourth, so it's three wins each. Points-wise, Kenseth has over Logano. Then you have your two-win guys, Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, and Kurt Busch. And then you have your single winners of Keselowski, Hamlin, Carl Edwards, and Martin Truex Jr. So that's 11 guys with wins. Those guys are repeat winning right now, and that leaves five out in the points column for guys that need to either win in the next 2 weeks or maintain their points position. So as the chase rolls around, all culminating to the last race before the chase at the Action Track Richmond International Raceway, we'll find out who makes the final tally, because, you know, it's going to get real that race, especially if we don't have any new winners at Darlington in a couple weeks. That race will be on Labor Day weekend, Sunday, September 6th at 7 p.m. on NBC. Yeah, actually, NBC is putting it on the main network. First race of the year. You would think they would put the Brickyard on the main network. But no, they were on NBC Sportsnet, and I'm sure that's a deal they worked out with NASCAR, that they've already had locked in other broadcast, but you put your big races on there. You wouldn't see Fox putting the Daytona 500 on Fox Sports 1. It would be on Fox, the regular network, so everybody could see it. Same with the Brickyard should be. But the Southern 500 is, so that'll be good anyway. So you tune in there and so on for that. As far as Xfinity Series, like Dennis said, they'll be at Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. That's a four-mile road course. That's a long one. And the Camping World Truck Series will be back in action next Sunday for the Canadian Tire Motorsports the Silverado 250 in Bowmanville, Ontario. So the Truck Series will be north of the border. And the Cup Series is off. Like I said, IndyCar will be back in action. So the tragic loss of Justin Wilson. Things like this don't happen often, but when they do, they do. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. That monster truck driver Cynthia Gauthier did not make it in today. Don't know what happened there, but we'll try to catch up with her and find out. Anyway, I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. Good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week. We'll make our picks for Darlington as well. Have a good one. Bye.